Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change. It's a pleasure to welcome Stephanie Hartman, who's originally from Austin, Texas, now in Oregon on the show. Stephanie, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's my real pleasure, and I love the title Stephanie gave to her segment. It's called Phew, I'm Glad That's Over. And you folks will learn to appreciate the nature of our conversation. Let me do a brief intro. As I said, Stephanie is the owner and president of Catalyst Performing Consulting. She coaches business owners and leadership teams and facilitates team alignment, strategic planning, and change initiatives. And she has supported organizations in many sectors, technology, financial services, construction, defense, restaurant management, and agriculture. She also is very focused giving back to her community through pro bono consulting to nonprofits assisting children and family in particular. And prior to launching her own consulting practice, now just about a year ago, she led a team of internal organizational effective consultants within a multi-billion dollar organization. Stephanie is co-author, and she patented a web-based application for collaborative program planning, and she's developed performance management models being used by many corporations. She has a Master of Science degree in Industrial and Organizational Psychology and also the Bachelor of Arts in Psychology with a special study focus on human resources. And, of course, in this day and age, she also is very active in discipline and professional association, the Academy of Management, an OD network, and the Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology. So the quest and the move from Tucson, Arizona, correct, to now the outer reaches of Hood River, Oregon. How's that been?
It has been a great change. We love it here. It's a fantastic community.
And it's a small community. Give our listeners a perspective, Stephanie. How big?
During the summertime, there's quite a flux. There are lots of folks who come here for windsurfing and other fun activities. But I think there are around 10,000 folks who live here. And so that's about the number of people who were employees in my previous company. So it's been quite a shift.
That's right. And then also from being an internal consultant to now developing a repertoire of clients that I suspect are primarily small business owners. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's been a big shift for me.
That's great. Well, tell us, maybe give us the perspective of that big leap that you took. How's it going?
It's going really well. I do say, phew, I'm glad that's over, because it was a little humbling. I had some expectations that I was going to be immediately successful, and I stumbled a little bit, but I think I have some tips I can share with some other folks who are considering taking that leap.
And give me tip number one. What do you think your biggest aha was?
One of the pieces is just getting really clear about my offering.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that I'm really an expert in? When I first started marketing my new business, I was giving leaders and business owners this laundry list of everything I could do or had ever done. And I later realized that just made me sound desperate and like I wasn't really an expert in something. And when I got really clear about the few things that I really am very good at, I've gotten a lot of feedback from customers and that I do a wonderful job at that, and I just marketed those, then I have more business than I could handle. So that's the first tip.
And what would those be, by the way?
It's change management and strategic planning, but I try to speak into their listening. I try and use words that are more appropriate for whatever their environment is. So that's,
sure.
That kind of leads me to the second tip of using plain English or plain language.
Yeah.
I came from a place where organization effectiveness and change management were facets. I was using a lot of corporate and organization effectiveness jargon, and it just wasn't resonating with owners of small businesses. And once I realized that, I shifted to just using plain language. Again, that helped me to have more business than I could handle.
Well, isn't that interesting, though? And that's a challenge, because you spent time, as I listed in your introduction, doing graduate work, being surrounded by publishing articles, you know, others of comparable intellectual, I don't want to say intellectual slice to mean in a snooty way, but just in the territory you ran. And then to suddenly realize, was it a matter of you getting kind of blank stares from people that kind of opened your eyes to that need to be more simplified and clear?
Yes, the number of questions that I was getting and the facial expressions were giving it away. And I'm glad you brought up it's not about intelligence, it's about being smart about a different discipline. I mean, there were very smart people that I was talking with, and they didn't know what I was saying, and so that let me know I was not being clear.
and could you describe some of those clients, perhaps not by name, but how were they different than what you'd done before?
Just much smaller mom-and-pop kind of shops.
Mm-hmm.
So just very different employee makeup, very different client and customer makeup, different kinds of organizational challenges. One thing that I really enjoy about this kind of newfound customer set is that the businesses are much smaller, and whenever I'm doing a change initiative with them, there aren't all these other variables or competing projects or initiatives that are underway, so it's clearer to see that this piece of work that we're doing is the thing that's creating the new results. And I also find that most of the people that I'm working with now are the business owners, not just a leader somewhere in the organization. And so
sure.
They've got skin in the game, and so they are really very committed to their organization being successful. And so that's just a lot of fun to work with folks who are so committed to their organization being successful and being hungry for information, like how to help have their teams work together more effectively and address their customer issues.
Well, you know, that's a really good point you bring up, is the fact in a small organization, or just this thought that you're going to just turn one dial and see if something goes up or goes down. But, you know, managing change usually is pretty multifaceted. So how is it you've been working with people and what you might share to help them frame up those challenges then?
Well, I really enjoy using a couple of different graphics. There are some models. I like to create my own models and tools, and I can share those at another time. But the tools that I use most often that were created by other people are graphics that simplify abstract or complex concepts that also can be used to help people analyze what's going on in their organization or to plan what they want to have go on in their organization. So I really love Goldratt's current reality tree. I think it's an elegant way to map root cause. And so for those who might be familiar with the popular 5-Y method of mapping root cause, mm-hmm. it's sort of a 5-Y on steroids. So I like that because it's a visual. It helps people to see all the different aspects of their organization that could be contributing to the results that they're getting right now that are unsatisfactory to them.
You know, one of the biggest challenges for the owners, even if you get the opportunity like you do to guide them through seeing the possibility, then is to decide what's the right intervention.
Right.
Because when you're working with a smaller business, you know, you don't necessarily have the forgiveness of goofing it up. There's not a whole lot of pliability, you know, because there's so much can be at stake.
Right. Well, I think that an important thing to do in a small organization, a large organization, really for doing any intervention, I think it's important to map out that current state, listing up at the very top of your chart what are the organizational results of interest, and usually that's money, either a cost savings or additional revenue that folks are looking for. And then from there, draw out separately who are the different players who do something that contributes to those results. And then below that, identify for each of those as best you can, what are the things that contribute to why those folks are doing that? What is it that those folks think or feel
mm-hmm.
that's driving that behavior? And then, so the intervention design is in figuring out what's the experience that you can create so that those folks think or feel differently, so that then they behave in a new way. I find that doing that exercise not only is really good in designing the intervention, but it's also a good communication tool to explain why certain change initiatives were chosen.
That's right. Can you give us an example of your having done that with a company there in Hood, Oregon, or an organization?
It's such a small community that if anything that I say, everyone else would know what I'm talking about.
Okay. isn't that a predicament to be in? Again, phew, yeah. I'm glad that's over. But I understand what you're saying. It's this idea really of, if in any ways going through a process like you've indicated, you then really tailor something that is relevant to that organization. It isn't textbooky. Right, it's something they can grasp on, and it has all sorts of other tangential effects at helping the companies.
Right.
You know, the idea is that many of these change initiatives employ, you know, involve teams who then really have to return to their day jobs. So this is work in addition to. How are you finding helping your clients cope with that?
Well, I think that it's important that, you know, this is another, whew, I'm glad that's over. Usually, change initiatives involve action teams who get pulled out of their day job for at least a portion of the time, and they go work on something, and then when they achieve some level of results, and they go back to it. But I think what's really important is putting low-calorie existence structures in place. So when things require extra kind of organizational calories, like people having to fill out an extra form or sure, doing yeah. an extra process or attending an extra meeting, the change is just less likely to stick. So if you can incorporate the change as like a tweak to some existing kind of generally accepted organizational activity, like if there's a standing meeting that already occurs, just add an agenda item. If people are used to doing time cards or clocking in with a badge, or people are used to annual performance reviews, if there's some way you can tweak something like that that everybody knows is a regular thing, just tweak it to incorporate the new thing, it has much more likelihood, a greater likelihood of staying.
Well, I think also what you see, in some hand you might feel it's a little sneaky and a bit of chicanery, but you're actually allowing people to ease into the shift, and many times after you do the tweaks, then you can also open up the eyes. Once your people get in the groove, they're saying, well, by the way, as long as we're doing this, how about these other four things, but let it be their idea.
Yeah, and I think it's important when I mentioned the current reality tree thing before and listing out the interventions on the I wouldn't do those things in a manipulative way. I mean, I would let everybody know. We're wanting you to do this new thing, and we're giving you a badge card so that you will remember to look at this and you're referred to that. So putting existence structures in place that are easy to use, but not having it be sneaky. Putting it out there so they know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what do you think, again, reflecting on the clients you've been working with for this first year on your own, what are some of those indicators of whether or not the changes that you and your clients are putting into place are sticking?
I guess probably more of concern as opposed to being if it's going to stick, but if it's going to be successful as far as even creating the initial
results.
This is going to sound silly, it's going to sound obvious, but I've unfortunately found it to be pretty uncommon, and I don't mean here in Hood River, I mean anywhere. If the leader or the change facilitator cannot explain the rationale that was used to select the change and what makes you think it's going to work, if you can't explain that, it is not going to work.
Yeah, that's right.
And using plain language, I mean, if you can't use it in plain language that people understand, then it's just not going to be successful. And then another really important piece is, are the people of influence supportive of the change? Okay. I think we get caught up in organizational structure and are the named leaders on board. But sometimes there are other people who are pretty influential who are not necessarily the named leaders. I think one of the most successful change initiatives I was a part of, we did a little stakeholder analysis and recognized that the administrative staff incredibly influential with this group of folks. And we had a special little luncheon. We explained what we were doing and explained how we recognized that their role was really important in impacting how everybody felt about this. And we enrolled them, and they really appreciated that we acknowledged them in that way, and they were on board. So that was one of the smartest things we did.
And, you know, you're absolutely right. As we many times get hung up in days gone by in particular, that it was the organizational structure, who had the titles, who sat in the office, but really it was the informal infrastructure, or the way in which social capital, the real respect and trust rifled through the organization as to where you could go and put your finger on the pulse.
Absolutely. Yeah, that matters more than org chart.
Isn't it really? It really, really does. Not that you can not need to be disrespectful for the other candidate, you know, colleagues in the mix, but the ones that are really going to put it on their shoulders and carry it for you. I mean, how many change initiatives we know of major, you know, organizations rolling out a new information technology system, and yet to find out that everybody's still using their Excel spreadsheet off to the side.
Right.
You know, the ones that really were the ones that made them make it happen. Well, I know a part of your change for you to move from Tucson up north, Stephanie, involved you and your husband becoming parents in this same time frame, so congratulations on that regard. But that's another part of your journey, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, we had Taylor there when we were in Tucson, and things were great. We just found that the opportunity to move here to Hood River was an even better community to raise him in. So that has been that's been great, and it allowed me a little bit more time to spend with him.
Yep, and we should mention to our listeners that your child Taylor is a special needs child. And so having that environment with a support structure and, you know, the smaller hometown feel, I bet, is very positive.
It's so funny. He knows everyone. I can't go to the grocery store or the library or, you know, walk downtown with him without somebody saying, oh, that's Taylor. So that's pretty cute.
That's great.
And he's not even four yet.
That's right. So the idea, too, of you're starting your own business, stepping out of a predominant corporate one, how are you finding balancing the hours?
It's been great, actually. I had to set boundaries on what are the number of days that I'm working, and I have just had to establish these are the days, these are the hours, and it's a little bit of a challenge, but I feel like it's going well.
Yeah, I think for any of us that step out to be solopreneurs, that's exactly the biggest point is, you know, when do you turn off the tape, or when do you walk away from your home office when it's
right.
Just around the hall or maybe just across the driveway.
Right.
The idea of cultivating new clients then, I'm assuming, again, being a small town, that the power of referral is got to really work to your advantage, Stephanie, the idea of getting two or three clean hits and then knowing that other business recommendations happen that way.
I would say that was a source of maybe one or two of my clients, which I think that's always important. I think what's been even more impactful is my developing personal relationships in a bunch of different, like in the Chamber of Commerce,
yes,
in my local Society for Human Resources Management chapter, just really getting involved in different associations and clubs and getting to know folks. And then as they have issues or needs that are related to what I do, then they're already comfortable with me. They know me. Because when you're dealing with changes for your organization, it's kind of personal, and you want to deal with somebody that you're comfortable with and you feel like knows you and is going to be treating you with respect and not making you wrong for things or judge you for things. So
yeah, I think that's exactly right. The venues of as I call it sometimes, the speed dating events of pushing your business cards, or even this world of such a heavy dose of social media and Facebooking, LinkedIning, Twittering, etc. But at the end of the day, when it comes to leading change, it really takes a connection of the heart, does it not?
Absolutely. You know, I have this kind of a second business that I started. It's sort of my guilty pleasure business. It's called Adornments of Hood River. I rent out a vintage and modern dishes and linens and things like that. But I, for that kind of a business, you know, I have a website and a Facebook page, and that's where I get, you know, a lot of the attention or business, also through referrals. But for my chains work, it really is personal relationships. The nature of the business is completely different. You really have to have a connection with someone and feel like there's a good chemistry and you feel comfortable with them and you trust them for it to be successful.
Yes, and even the wisdom to say, you know, I don't think this is the right project for me to help you with, but
right,
I know these two people that actually could be a better fit.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's so important. It's important for me to not make them wrong, and to not beat myself up over the fact that they may not think I'm a fit, because I don't need everybody to love me. I just need a handful of customers, and it needs to be a good chemistry fit.
Well, I think also your integrity, the idea of passing on a referral to another colleague, whether it be in the change space or some other form of consulting and coaching, it speaks well of your staying grounded just where you started with us, of what clearly wants to be your core offerings that's in your sweet spot.
Yeah, it's in my core offering, but it also has to do with, am I having fun? And I really only have fun with certain kinds of customers who have a kind of a particular philosophy about, if I'm working with somebody or someone approaches me about just a survival, I need to survive, then I'm probably not going to be the best person for you, because I really do my best work when I'm having fun with somebody and when they are passionate about their business and want to play big. If you're up for playing big, then I'm here to help you. But if you're kind of just looking for survival, let me see if I can find you somebody else who's going to be really a better fit for you and help you and be a better use of your money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And because, again, it's all about relationships. And then who knows, maybe they'll fix those perturbations in survival and then come back to you on second round.
Right, and know that it's coming from the right place and not just that I'm desperate for work.
That's right, and I think you're right. Those of us, and the listeners who are thinking about starting their own business, sometimes it's as much about what you say no thank you to.
Right.
Which is really hard to do when you're thinking, but could I have walked away from something that could pay some of those bills?
Right.
Well, Stephanie Hartman, what's next for you in this business, do you think?
Moving into this environment where there are very different kinds of businesses, and I'm able to use some of the models that I created before in kind of the corporate world and other places, I'm realizing that they really are pretty helpful. They help change practitioners and leaders to get their arms around some pretty complex concepts. So I'm going to write about them in either a series of articles or in a book, so I'll keep you posted on those.
Very good. Well, we'll keep on track. In fact, for those who'd like to learn more about Stephanie's path as well as her blogging, which she does already, it's Catalyst, CatalystPerformance, CatalystPerformance.com, out of Oregon. She's got partners in various geographies, so there's always a way to bridge any distance or geographic location. Wish you all the best, Stephanie. Thanks for contributing here on Circles of Change.
Thanks so much.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.
Take care.
Indeed.